I'm Patrick.
And this is Will.
And I'm Chris, and we are Guys with Issues. And we're Guys with Issues who are recording.
Successfully, and the first time.
And on today's issue, we're back amongst the stars with Green Lantern Corps Ring Quest. But before that, Patrick.
Yeah, what's up?
You got anything you want to share?
I've been on vacation.
You have. How's that been going?
Amazing. I don't want to go back to work already.
You're like, this is the first time in a long time that I've haven't had plans, and I've just chilled. It's rejuvenating.
It's been great.
Nice.
When we walked in, you were playing
Far Cry 6.
Yeah.
Just started it, really.
You hadn't even been, like, it had been a while since you'd been gaming, really. And
I know. I've just been too busy.
You're just, like, using this week to just totally chill.
Yeah,
for the most part.
I mean, I've done things.
I know. You've done things here and there, but overall, you have all sorts of time that you normally don't.
Right.
So, I see that you've been building Lego sets as well.
Mm-hmm.
You've done some of the ones that have been sitting around.
Yep.
So
I even started on a bonsai.
Did you plant one?
No, I'm planning on trying to finish that this weekend at least.
Okay. Get all your Lego stuff accomplished. <Yeah.
laughs> It's only been a year and a half, you know, whatever.
Hey.
From where we sit, it looks fine.
It'll look much better once it's done.
I'm sure.
Especially from where I sit, because I can't see it at all.
Right.
Well, once he fixes it, it'll be on the stand, and then you will see it. It'll be epic.
Yeah. I don't think I have to do much cool. to it. I just need to. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went to the Amish Sam's Club.
Oh, yeah.
A.K.A. E&S.
How was that?
Or like we like to call it around here, Big Owls.
Really?
Not to be confused with Blind Owls.
Right. So we did it on Saturday. That was after we recorded. I didn't do anything Sunday, which was amazing. And then Monday I went up to Saugatuck.
And?
In Michigan. That was nice. We just walked
around. Just hung out.
Shopped a bit. Checked it out. You know,
yeah.
We didn't really have any plans going up there. I just wanted to check it out at some point.
Yeah.
After that I had dinner with two of my siblings.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know you did that.
It was going to be one, but the other one just decided to show up. Crash the party.
For real?
Yeah.
Good job, Joel.
Nope.
No, it was Aaron.
Yeah, it was Aaron.
Yeah, because you visited Clayton then because you were up there.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know his family now. I
just guessed. I'm like, I wonder if I could just pull a name out and have it
that,
be right.
That would have been great, but no, sadly, no.
What'd you eat?
Dang.
Because that is the other 50% of the podcast is food discussion.
We went and I had Italian.
What did you get?
So I had some, what do they call it?
Pasta?
Yes, they called it pasta.
Wow.
I don't remember the name of it, but it was a penne with Italian sausage. And,
oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was thinking of when you said you couldn't remember what it was called. I was like, I bet it's that thing that I can't remember.
Right.
And it uses that sound. I bet it is.
Right. It's pretty good.
Almost like a calzone kind of thing?
No.
No.
That was Wednesday. I mowed. No. Tuesday I mowed.
Tuesday you mowed. You also got a freezer.
I got a freezer.
It's a trademark sign that someone's been on vacation where it's just like
they don't know what day it is.
It's like, I've mowed on. What day was that again? That is a good vacation.
Right.
It's true.
Friday was when I got the freezer.
Ah.
Right.
I see.
I think. I don't know. We're going to say Friday because why not?
Wow.
It's your story. You just got to stick to it.
Right. And then something happened Wednesday.
Cool.
What happened Wednesday?
I don't know.
I don't either.
For a second there, I thought he was going to keep it a mystery.
No.
Like something happened on Wednesday.
I just don't remember.
And then,
about an hour and a half ago, I just got back from watching Twisters.
I kind of presumed that you went and did something because of the shirt you're wearing.
Right.
I was like, that's not his lounge around the house shirt. That's like, I went out and did something right. shirt.
This is it's too hot and I want a cool shirt.
So, Twisters.
Twisters.
I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah.
Do you agree that it is good?
So, I enjoyed the movie for what it was.
Which is what everybody says.
Yes. Yep. But it was extremely predictable.
So is the original.
Wow.
Right.
That but means something
for me,
coming from Pat.
It was extremely predictable.
Because he doesn't think ahead.
Yeah, he doesn't try to predict things. So if it was so obvious as someone who just sits there and lets the movie happen.
Is it
to
supposed
them,
to have a twist?
I don't.
I mean, or I a twister.
I was going to say, it's in the name.
It has a lot of those twisters. But no, yeah. It does not have a twist. It's,
well,
it's exactly
it's
what you
straight,
think it's
a
be.
Straightforward movie.
Yeah.
I've heard it's just meant to be a sit back and have a good time movie.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it immensely. It
and
was
it's
good.
And it is a spiritual, almost like a reinvention of the original, is what I've heard.
Yeah,
it's not a sequel so much as like a spiritual successor.
It's a sequel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because the remember the little
yeah, whatever it's called,
instruments that they used to measure the first.
Yeah,
Twister.
They had a name for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was literally one of the first things they showed in the movie. And it was in a couple of big scenes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely
So would you suggest somebody watch it? If they're interested in seeing it, the answer would be yes.
If you think
you might enjoy it. Go see it. You'll enjoy it.
If you did not like the first one,
oh yeah,
it's
not for you.
It's not for you. But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
There's a new movie coming out tomorrow that I'm interested in. Actually, there's two new movies coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
One that I would like to take my children to, which is Harold and the Purple Crayon or
whatever. Yeah, I saw that. That looks interesting.
That looks like it could be a lot of fun. I believe I also had the book as a kid. And then the other movie that's coming out tomorrow is M. Night Shyamalan's new movie, Trap.
Not interested.
Oh, it looks so good.
The last three M. Night Shyamalan movies I've been so disappointed in.
Well, he's already said there's no twist.
Yeah, so there's a twist.
No. Like, people who've even seen it are like, no, there's no twist.
Okay.
They show it to you in the trailer.
Okay. I'm still not, I don't want to see it.
I'm genuinely into it.
I just don't.
Cool.
I went.
I liked Old.
What was the one with the Village or whatever crap it was called?
You said the last three. That came out when I was in high school.
Yeah, that's why I gave up on
that. That was like 20 years
ago.
So
bad.
I remember that movie coming out. So yeah, I was like middle school.
The last three I watched.
I saw that movie in an empty theater. I had to watch it for an assignment. My high school English teacher made us go watch it. We had to go watch it because it was in reference to some other thing we had done. And
did you write the school and tell him how bad of a teacher he is?
No, but I went the last day possible because we were having a test and there was going to be some stuff about it or something included on the test. And I went like on a Wednesday and I was the only person in the theater. And it was one of my favorite movies. I have a fond memory of The Village. I know everybody trashes it.
Oh, I hate it.
But because I was the only person in the theater, and it's the type of movie it is, it was the most fun I've ever had at a movie because I was sitting there. And so then, like, when she'd be, like, going into a room and you knew that they'd be I would literally be shouting because I was alone.
Right.
I'd be like, don't go in there! He's behind that door! What are you doing? And I did that the whole movie.
That made it
amazing.
Right. Yeah, no, that was one of the most boring movies I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I like the twist to that one, though. I do. I think it's interesting.
Sure.
Well, it doesn't mean the rest of the movie's good.
Right.
The village elders are the people wearing the costume, and she jumps over the fence.
I already knew that.
And like, there's just a highway and a car goes down.
The fact that the whole movie is framed as if this is like colonial 1460 era. Yeah,
something.
No. And then it's the twist of it being modern day and it's like a secluded thing. I liked that. I enjoyed that.
Sure, it's the twist wasn't bad, but the rest of the movie was.
I mean, if you want to see something that'll make you think it's brilliant, watch The Acolyte. Don't get me started. I'm sorry.
You're the one that got me started.
I'm going to start ranting. We have to change it.
We have to change it.
So what usually happens, though. Chris just gets himself going.
My vacation has been wonderful.
Excellent.
Will, what have you been up to?
Not on vacation, I can tell you that.
That's a shame. Everybody should be on vacation. It's amazing.
If only we could be on vacation all the time.
That's called rich parents.
Or retirement.
That's called nepotism.
No, I'm just kidding. Right.
I mean,
rich nepotism.
Last weekend, recorded with you guys on Saturday, and then immediately left to have a birthday party for my brother.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Even though his birthday was like a month and a half ago.
And it was a fun time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Did you make your jambalaya or whatever, gumbo or whatever you make?
Oh, the jambalaya was for a party that I couldn't go to because I flash burned my eyeballs.
Right.
Remember?
But he wants to know if you brought it to the party.
I did not.
Okay. that was all I was asking.
Nope.
I want to bring that up as much as possible until you bring me some.
We'll just have to do Guys with Issues jambalaya extravaganza.
Oh, I thought we were going to say like Guys with Issues carry-in.
Dude, okay, we can do that.
I can make some bread.
You guys have had some good stuff. I've started making a chicken Alfredo from scratch, and it's pretty good.
Nice.
I will say the Instant Pot has like revitalized my culinary,
interests,
adventurisms, whatever you want to say.
Nice.
Because like I've made things I've never made before.
Nice.
And I found myself like in a rut of like kind of making all the same things pre-purchasing an Instant Pot. And now I've tried some new things that are really good. Like I made this Mongolian beef and like, what did I make the other day? That was actually pretty good. It was like a bang bang chicken.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was all pretty good.
So talking about Instant Pots, I used to make that one meal with the rice and all that stuff in the Instant Pot.
Yes.
I've stopped doing that.
Really?
I don't make it on the stove.
Nice.
It's about the same amount of time, and it never burns.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. That was an aside.
Did you burn stuff in your Instant Pot?
Oh, yeah. If you put rice in with like vegetables and meat and stuff, and you stir the rice in, your Instant Pot will burn.
Interesting.
Oh, you see, I read that before, whenever you put pasta on top,
and to like tap it down so it's covered, it's all covered in water, then you're fine. But if you stir the rice in, your Instant Pot will burn.
See, I haven't burned anything yet.
Yeah, good luck.
But I did read that whenever you add like pasta or rice, you should like.
Yep, you do not want it down towards the bottom of the pot. You want it on the top. Mm-hmm. I've learned that.
Interesting.
Yep. But my mom always makes dinner per the request of the birthday person.
It's a good tradition.
And so my mom made like fried chicken finger things with avocado sauce, mashed potatoes. Macaroni and cheese and lemon bars. She made really good lemon bars.
Nice. That sounds amazing.
Yep. And then, heard from my dad that he has been listening to our podcast again.
Oh, yeah.
So, hi, Dad.
hi, Will's dad.
Yeah.
Mr. Brad.
Yeah. I walked up to him and he's like, God, that's the eye that had the potato in it. That's the eye you put the drops in it. Like, yeah, cool. You were listening.
That's amazing.
Sunday, I didn't do anything because I was gone basically all day because we got breakfast that morning before the podcast. Mm.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Yep.
And then he was gone all night.
Yeah. I think I got home like, it was around 8 o'clock.
So Sunday, you just were chilling.
Yeah, Sunday.
He took a Patrick day.
Yeah.
So nice. I'm glad we kind of vibed on Sunday.
We did.
Not talking to anybody. And
wow.
I take that back. I think I texted this guy.
I probably texted and was like, what's up?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
So, yep.
And
nice.
Then,
nothing of the week so far?
Nothing of the week so far.
But his birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, that's awesome. Happy birthday, Will. Thanks. I'm not going to remember tomorrow.
How old will you be?
I'll be 30.
That's what I thought.
Actually, yep. I'm going to put it in my phone.
You're going to be 30 years old this year.
30. Yep.
As the decade turns.
Yep. 30 years of riding this planet.
I think my little sister is going to be 30 this year. I'm going to have to verify that. And her birthday would be next week.
What year was she born?
Yeah, I just subtract the amount of... She's 7.5 years younger than me. I'm going to be 38, so I'm guessing she's 30 this year. I'll have to ask her.
Nice.
But I'm pretty sure she turns 30 next week.
Yeah.
So the question is, are you going to be dirty 30 or flirty 30?
Oh, I don't know.
Just nerdy 30.
Definitely that one.
Maybe a bit of all three.
Got to keep that one going.
You don't want to change who you are. I mean,
no,
it's too early in your life for that.
Right. You got at least 10 more years.
Shouldn't you try to change who you are sooner and then you can write it out after?
I have no idea.
Well, some people say you don't
know. It was supposed to be a midlife crisis joke. That's what we went off.
Well, I was trying to make a midlife crisis joke.
Yeah, I figured.
But it just,
I did listen to our most recent podcast.
Did you?
The Call Guys.
Did you listen to The Call Guys or did you listen to ours?
I listened to a bit of theirs and then I wanted to make sure I finished it. So I kind of skipped towards the end to see what ours sounded like. I think we should miss recording more often because I think we had some better energy that time.
We kind of did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were all. And it was, Lorena was like, man, that was, you guys were just hauling through that.
Yeah, we were.
I know. We were moving at a million miles an hour because we had already done it all before.
Yeah, and it was
there's no
what,
thought.
Like 3 hours into the recording or something.
I don't know.
It was
The total issue length was only 150.
Because you're amazing.
I guess.
Yeah. I did catch their, you know, because we kind of messed up and we didn't record on our end. The audio did mess up a few times.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did the best I could.
No, yeah, you
doing
definitely.
The balance with our Zoom call audio. It was a lot of work.
I bet.
It was so
and I
much
saw
work.
The,
so
I saw,
what you're saying is you like this little device much
yep,
better.
Where I have each of us on a separate track?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't have to... I had to do it old school, like pre-preamp style, where I had to go through and I balanced. I even tried to balance when Colton and Gunner would talk. I'm guessing our... I did not listen to theirs because I listened to theirs via ours twice.
Right.
Because I cut like 20 minutes out of what they published. So there's a lot of content. If you only listen to ours and would like to hear a bit more of the episode, you can listen to The Call Guys from this week as well. Well, what would be last week at this time?
Right.
And there's going to be a little bit more here and there. But I didn't cut out a lot.
Cool.
But for the Call Guys and the Guys with Issue episode lengths were the exact same. They both said 1 hour, 50 minutes. And the fact that we had an additional like 17 or 18 minute recording at the end, I was like, well, that worked out kind of, that's kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
But so tomorrow, you're not doing anything for your birthday, are you? You meeting anybody?
I don't have any plans for the actual day, but I am meeting my family at Salvatore's in Warsaw.
On Saturday. For like a weird late lunch, early dinner. It's like 3 o'clock, right?
Yeah. You know, we just want to hang out.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. It's an early supper.
That's an enjoyable place to go to.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Their lasagna is good. It has good lasagna. If you like lasagna, you don't get it often. I will endorse their lasagna.
There you go.
I'll keep that in mind.
Their meatball, not good.
Chris approved lasagna.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It is very good lasagna. And the small portion, or half or whatever, plenty. Plenty.
Yeah, I did hear from the HR, IT accountant at work that the portion sizes there are, you know, generous.
Yeah, if you get a normal size, like if it offers two sizes and you get a normal, like the full size, you could share it, I would say, for most of their stuff.
Or, you know, take it home and have some leftovers.
No, yeah, that guy ate it for 3 days.
And?
Well, for lunch.
I don't see why that's a problem.
It depends on if you're trying to save some cash.
True.
So, anyway.
Anywho.
That's cool. Yeah. Anything else for your birthday weekend?
Sunday, I'm going out with my mom and sisters to see Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I will be rewatching it because I was talking about it, and they're like, wait, we should go watch a movie together. I'm like, well, let's go see it.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, that's going to be fun. Maybe I will
let
recap.
Us know if it's worth watching again.
Yeah, I'll see if I can catch any more Easter eggs.
Oh, for sure.
I was thinking about it. Like, one of the things they should have done for one of the Deadpools is make Hugh Jackman play as a Deadpool and have him fight himself. Like, that would have been...
That really would have been amazing.
Because he would have, like, knocked his mask off and seen that it was him. And he would be like, oh, no way.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I wish they... I was genuinely disappointed that Gwenpool wasn't there. I was disappointed. Gwen Stacy as Deadpool is
that's
what
character. I was thinking, like you were saying.
It's Gwenpool. It's a white costume with like pink straps. And she's a huge fan favorite. And I was like, with all the other ones that were there,
I
was like, oh, such a bummer.
For a minute, I thought you meant the actual comic book character Gwen Stacy became Deadpool at some point in time.
It's a multiverse thing.
Oh,
it is Gwen Stacy from Spider-Man. Oh, cool. It is literally Gwenpool. Just like how they have Spider-Gwen, they also have Gwenpool.
Interesting.
Yeah, she's such a big fan character now that she's been like all kinds of stuff, I guess.
Wonderful.
They should have had Squirrel Girl. Her personality would have fit perfect.
Oh, I know.
Squirrel Pool.
Squirrel Pool.
It's just a pool full of squirrels.
I was thinking like a bird bath. The squirrel pool.
There you go.
Bird bath usually meets squirrel pool. But
I know my sister loves bird feeders. She's had to hang squirrel feeders below them to feed the squirrels so they stop eating all of her bird seed.
That's a thing. But it sounds like you have a lot of fun stuff going on.
Yeah, this weekend I actually have some things happening.
That are like enjoyable things.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear about them next weekend.
Yeah.
And
tell us all about it.
Anyway, Chris, what about you?
I just have some things to share. I don't have much in the way of like things I've done. I did want to talk about, because way back early on, we talked about comic news being a thing. I think it's funny that that like later after we recorded with the Call Guys, Marvel made a bunch of announcements. Like Robert Downey Jr. coming back as Doctor Doom for Secret Wars.
Oh, nice. I did see that.
Yeah, and the Russo brothers, the ones that directed Winter Soldier and Civil War and Infinity War and Endgame, are coming back to direct some of that.
Nice.
So you can see that Marvel's like, you know what? We're sick of not making money. We're going to try to do something that might bring people back to the theater.
That would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, if only they could teach Star Wars that.
Wow, it's like they listened to Colton. And they were like, man, we're not doing anything that's good anymore. You have no faith in us.
It's because most people are Colton in that opinion today.
No, they just listened to our podcast.
That's what it was. Yeah. They heard our crossover.
Right.
There's a little bit of Colton in everybody, I guess.
So they also released a trailer for the new Penguin TV show on Max.
Okay.
That's like the Colin Farrell Penguin from The Batman.
Oh. Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Cool.
I don't know if you would enjoy it because you don't like stories centered around bad guys.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, he's the main character.
I understand.
You do really like the Joker movie.
I enjoyed the Joker movie.
But this is like a series. Like, he doesn't... This is like him saying he doesn't like Breaking Bad. Like, this is about a criminal mob boss.
And the Joker isn't?
Sure, but if there are redeemable characters...
He's not bad the whole movie.
It's not movies centered around bad people.
Or shows.
It's if every character in the show is a bad person.
I'm going to guess that's what Penguin is.
Okay, then I won't
I'm just
like
saying,
it.
I'm guessing from the trailer, I don't know if there's going to be good people in the show.
Then I will not like it.
I know.
Give me at least one redeemable person I can latch on to.
Like, I'm I don't good. Even think Batman's in the show, so you can't even latch on to him.
Oh, man. And if you can't latch on to Batman, what's the point?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So then Amazon just launched a new Batman cartoon show. Have you seen that?
Nope.
It's called Batman the Caped Crusader, and it's very much kind of a spiritual successor to Batman the Animated Series.
That's
has that
fun.
Vibe.
Yeah.
It's like a 1930s thing, and I started the first episode. I didn't have time to finish it, but so far I've really enjoyed like what they're going for, and it has some good names attached to it. It has Matt Reeves, the director of the Batman, attached to it. It has Ed Brubaker.
We know that name.
Yeah, it's got him as one of the people. Bruce Timm worked on it, including wrote for the show. Bruce Timm is the one who actually... He is one of the people that worked on the original animated series and did all the art and character designs for it. So,
Michael Keaton?
Bruce Timm.
Mm, I was saying, like, maybe he makes a comeback?
Bruce Wayne.
Wow. Who am I, why do I even try? but it's cool. It definitely has the animated series kind of vibe to it.
Nice.
Stylistically, so... I'm interested to see if it holds up for the whole... I didn't see how many episodes there are, but for the whole season. But yeah, also, I last weekend did play Marvel United, the CMON board game with my daughter finally, because I needed to know if she liked it and if I liked it so that I would know if I need to back the DC Heroes United Game Found campaign. Cora loved it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I offered to play a game with her the next day and said, do you just want to play Uno like you've been wanting to do lately? Because we had talked about playing Marvel United again. But, and she has no bearing on, like she doesn't watch, she hasn't seen any of the Marvel movies and has very little knowledge of those characters. So for her to be like, no, I love that game. We should play again. It plays kind of like a simpler version of something like The Captain is Dead.
Okay.
Because it's full co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, each villain changes the way the game is played. But you have a villain dashboard. You have six locations that you draw randomly. And then you each choose a hero. And then the villain plays a card from their deck. And then the heroes play three cards, like... You take three turns between the players, and then the villain plays a card, then the heroes move, and then the villain plays a card. And the villain moves around the locations, and depending where they land, different effects happen. Their cards have different things happen. And you're trying to stop them by either defeating thugs at the various locations, saving civilians because they're little tokens, or stopping these like threat-like plots that they have going on at the different locations. And once you've completed two of those three objectives, you can do damage to the villain and then ultimately try to defeat them.
Nice.
So the DC one had all kinds of cool stuff. And I ended up, I didn't do the all-in pledge. I've debated if I want to bump it up a little bit and get the all-in, but I don't feel like I absolutely need it. I got the boxes that I thought seemed the coolest, and their, by the way, their final stretch goal is a giant parallax like creature, clear plastic,
nice.
Like yellow, and has his own like big ultimate threat game mode where you can fight parallax.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, no, and they had a War of Light box, so all the new lanterns.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
No, it's, I'm sure we'll play it sometime.
Nice.
It looks awesome. Also, they have an Arkham Asylum pack where you can play as villains escaping Arkham, where either Batman, Flash, Superman, or Wonder Woman can be hunting you and stopping you.
That's
which
awesome.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So, to me, I was just like, oh, okay, I've played the co-op now. I know I like the game. this is a game my family will play. I know my friends, you guys, will play it as well. And I was like, so why would I not get the DC one? It was the first time I backed a game since ISS Vanguard, which was like, what, 2 years ago now or more? 2.5.
Right.
Which that's one we still need to play too.
It's yeah, right
I've,
there.
I've played the first mission, so it's good.
Yeah.
But
I need to.
It takes a lot of setup, out. And it does take. It's not a short game. Where the nice thing about the co-op version of this, like the United system,
mm-hmm.
is you can play it in like 25 to 40 minutes. Easy to throw out there, quick setup, and then about a half an hour, and you've played a game. So it's
nice.
Those are nice.
Those are.
I like that, especially when you get used to playing things that aren't like that. It's so nice to play things like that.
Yep. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, do we want some weird history facts stuff? That
are we doing history facts today?
Yeah. So I got a few because I kind of missed the ball on this one for like the 4th of July Independence Day. So I got a few about America.
Nice.
By a few, I mean two. So only a couple. James Monroe, one of the founding fathers, quote unquote,
yeah,
signed the Declaration of Independence, was only 18 years old when he signed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being 18 years old and doing something like signing the Declaration of Independence?
Well, wow. I mean, there's people who aren't even that old competing in the Olympics, so.
But that's normal.
Well, I know it's normal.
Most like Olympic gymnasts are like teenagers. The oldest one up until recently was 22.
Right, but
that was literally the oldest gold medalist until like this year.
Right.
22.
Right.
That's ridiculous. It's
probably the same lady.
Anyway, the term founding father wasn't used until 1910.
Oh. What did they call him before?
Those guys who signed a piece of paper.
Nice.
What would they call him?
The floundering fathers?
Wow.
And then that led to this weird...
declaring daddies?
The declaring daddies. That's what it was.
Right, there's a podcast on Spotify
declaring
called...
daddies.
There's a podcast on Spotify called Dungeons and Daddies.
Yeah, where they all play dads that got sucked into like a fantasy world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Curtis used to talk about it all the time.
Yeah, he told me about it. I thought about checking it out.
He hasn't told me about it.
He doesn't tell you about anything.
That's true.
That's beneficial. Usually, if you hear about something from him, he'll drain all of your interest by the time he's done talking about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You hear that, listener?
He doesn't listen to this, so it's okay.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
That's good.
Yes, and looking up those things led to this next little fact. The shortest war in history was between England and Zanzibar. It lasted 38 minutes.
I think
because
I've
of the Zanzibar
heard
barbarians.
Of this.
Yeah?
Go on. I don't remember. I don't remember the details, but I think I've heard of this, actually.
Yeah, I didn't look up anything past that. Today is just a bunch of random little one-liners. The longest
That's
war...
That's a shame. I wanted to deep dive on that.
I kind of want to deep dive on that, too.
Well, I deep dive some other stuff,
it's
but
okay.
It's not like podcast applicable because it would take so long to...
So we'll
talk
do a special issue
we'll do like
of
a,
Sands of Barbarians.
Yeah, we'll go back. I'll write that down. The longest war, in contrast, was 335 years, and it was between the Netherlands and the Isle of Sicily, and nobody ever died.
Nice.
So is it like they spat at each other
so
and
it's
they're like, this is a war?
Yeah, it's like they declared war, forgot they declared war, forgot to close it out, and it just remained open, I guess. I don't. They just had a standoff for 300 years.
So it's not like that island, I don't remember. There's an island that their quote-unquote war is they, one side takes a bottle of whiskey or scotch or whatever and puts it on the island, and then the other side goes and captures that and puts their own bottle.
What?
Yeah, there's a quote-unquote war that's
whiskey
happening.
War?
Yeah, something like that.
I'd take part.
Wow. They'd be like, nobody left a bottle. There's two drain bottles here.
I know, right?
And me like, Will's like, it's a peace treaty.
You both lost, sucker.
And I won.
Yes, scientists believe that Alexander the Great was accidentally buried alive.
I thought you were going to say Alexander the Great was actually only average.
Yeah. That too. He probably wasn't all that great. He had
average
some,
Al.
I've actually heard this.
Yeah, they thought he had something called Guillain-Barré syndrome and was just paralyzed, but like completely mentally aware when they buried him.
Look, I'm going to be honest. That's not very great.
Not great for him.
No.
Do you think he was buried or was he put in like a mausoleum?
Well, quote unquote buried. I have no idea where they put him.
I don't know. You just lay there. You're like, dang. You're actually, not actually buried. You're in like a fancy mausoleum. Oh, man.
They actually used to put like headstones would have a bell. Yeah. There'd be a rope that went down to the coffin.
To their finger.
Right.
Yeah.
Just in case they buried someone that wasn't actually happened. Dead. Yeah. Which and they is, could ring the bell and someone would come out.
Where
and,
the phrase a dead ringer comes from.
Yep.
Yep.
That actually wasn't one I had written down, but one I just had in my
own. But one we all appreciate.
Yeah. Let's see if I can find.
Is funny that one guys, of those facts that you think, like the three of us, do you take for granted that most people should, like they would just naturally know that?
Yeah, but, you kind of just assume people know that.
But it's probably something that somebody listening may not have known.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's those things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys mentioned the Olympics, and I'm happy because I included
the Ozempics?
Few.
What?
The no, Olympics. Yeah, the Ozempics. That's about next year. Between 1912 and 1948, the Olympic Games held competitions in fine arts, including literature, architecture, sculpting, painting, and music. But everything had to be Olympic themed.
Really?
Yeah.
That reminds me of something that I didn't share when the call guys were talking about the Olympics. And that this year they incorporated breakdancing into the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
That's a new Olympic competition. Breaking. Literally. It's breakdancing.
Right. It's where you break your dance.
Have you watched it? It competed yet?
I don't believe breakdancing has competed yet.
Okay, I didn't know.
They just started golf today.
Yeah, I usually just look back on things. I see there's a whole bunch of like stuff going on with tweets and TikToks and gymnasts and stuff. That's what was in the news.
The Olympics has been pretty much just on constantly in my house since it started.
Yeah?
Just all through vacation.
I haven't watched a single clip.
Cool.
Nice. Speaking of...
I will probably pull up some fencing. I heard that they were doing some BMXing the other day or something. They have like the extreme stuff going on.
Do you want a spoiler?
Sure. You can't spoil the Olympics for me.
The women's fencing final, the last two, like going to the top, were both Americans.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that could happen.
You go America.
Wow.
So one got gold, one got silver.
Wow. That's crazy for a team.
Yep.
Like a group.
Mm-hmm.
No, Olympic fencing is bonkers to watch. They're so fast.
Yes.
Like they move so fast.
They do.
You mentioned a new sport, but an old sport that doesn't occur anymore was from 1900 to 1920. Tug of war was an Olympic sport.
They should bring that back.
I know, right? Because
that
like,
would be epic.
You just get the fattest Americans.
No.
That wouldn't help.
Although your anchor one,
right.
Big dude does help.
Big dude anchor.
But dude, no, because like Japan could get like some of their sumo guys.
Because
those guys are stupid, strong, and heavy.
Yep.
Dude, I bet Japan would own tug of war.
Or one of the Nordic countries.
Or they'd be like, oh no, normally we're pushing. We don't know how to do this in reverse. They all face backwards. And... That's what it is. Oh, I thought that too, that like I could see some Nordic folk, some big dudes pulling on
like the
rope.
the guy who played the mountain in Game of Thrones, like they're one of the biggest dudes around.
They had some of the mountains in Game of Thrones were played by people.
Yeah.
Oh. That must have been interesting.
I know, right? No, there's this
for
guy.
Avalanche scene. They just shake.
He had dandruff.
Whoa. It's a whole different skill set.
Anyway, moving on. In 1868, winners in the Olympics were awarded with an olive wreath crown instead of a medal.
Nice.
Well, that makes sense.
It wasn't until 1904 that they started using like the gold, silver, and bronze medals.
Of course.
I'm like, how cool would it be to get a crown?
Well, yeah, that's what the original Olympics probably gave.
Yeah.
Like olive leaf crowns. You see them in like statues and paintings and stuff.
I know, right?
But did you hear about what they did with the medals in the Paris Olympics?
No, but I saw they looked really like, they're like textured. They're not
right.
normal. They're funkified.
So they they renovated the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
And all of the old metal went into these.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
The medals. So it's got Eiffel Tower.
So it has
in it?
Eiffel Tower. That's actually iron pretty cool. In those medals, I know. That's. I thought that was really neat.
That's cool. Like a one of a kind.
I know.
Like seriously collectible item right there.
So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really neat.
But yeah, that was the last one.
Cool.
Like I said, it was just a bunch of random little tidbits that I had found because the Olympics were going and.
Yeah.
Flash facts.
Yeah, I heard about the James Monroe being 18 from like a podcast I was listening to.
That's fun.
And realized I didn't include any like founding father facts during any of the July independence.
We appreciate that you walked it back.
Yeah, yes. So I had to kind of do a little bit of redemption there.
Well.
But, yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank
you for the time you spend to bring this segment.
Right. Yes.
It's always interesting.
It is.
And now for your second segment.
Right? Following it up with number two.
Which sounds to Gunner, I mean, he calls us the guys with snacks.
He does.
Which so, I think is his favorite segment now.
I don't think he's alone. I think this has become a fan favorite.
It's possible.
I'm waiting for somebody to tell us that it's their least favorite, though, because not everybody likes that kind of thing. So, Wilhelm.
Yes. Not looking. We're reaching into Lorena's bag today.
Ooh, yeah, grab that. I don't know what it is.
Okay, so we got Casa de Dulce. And I'm guessing the name of it's Pulparindo. I don't know. Good luck. We'll post a picture and you can tell me what you think the name of it is.
What? Well... Bro, you just tore the label.
Oh, but it has it on the...
Yeah, Pulparindo. Casa de Dulce. Okay. House of Sweets.
Oh, hey, look at that.
You could actually open up from the other side.
Just like your heart.
My heart opens from the other side?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yes.
Take one and pass it on.
Yes, it's made with real fruit. Good job, Mexico.
Yeah, don't want any of that fake fruit.
Is it like fruit leather? Is that what this is going to be?
I didn't really say.
It feels like it. Feels like fruit leather.
Well, I failed that.
I bet it's going to be a ruddy. Yep. Oh, it's got to be fruit leather. It's got to be that. Right?
Looks like it got chilies in there or something.
Does it have baby back ribs?
If only.
You know, that song was just going through my head.
When Before he said it?
No, when he said chilies.
That's why I said it. Oh. I like this. It reminds me of the spoons.
I was literally just getting ready to say, it's just like the...
This is starting to make me think, and I'm sorry if I sound uncultured. I feel like I'm not, but... This is starting to lead me to believe that there's a majority of Mexican candy that just tastes all the same. It's just different versions of the same thing.
I mean, you could say that about American candy.
Dude.
Chocolate.
Chocolate's not candy.
Okay. Skittles.
What tastes like Skittles?
Other Skittles.
Dude, that is a terrible example.
I never said it was a good one.
Got to get those mouth sounds in
there. Gotta chew it up. I like it. Oh, you know what? The second ingredient is tamarind pulp. That's why it tastes like it, because it's tamarind. Sugar, tamarind pulp. Yep. There it is. And there's the guajillo chili. So it has some of the same ingredients as the tamarind spoons.
There's a lot more chili in this one, though.
I like it a lot.
It's tasty. Yeah. Me too.
I don't mind that they taste similar. I enjoy that.
I think I'd rate it above the spoon because the spoon was like a little bit thicker. So they almost went for
this
more
is easier to eat.
Yeah. So the spoon was more of a sucker.
Less spoon fed.
And this is more of a, you know.
This is closer. Have you had fruit leather?
Yeah.
It's more like that.
I've made fruit leather before. Have you ever made it? I have a dehydrator.
Yes, I have.
But you know what? This is like a Mexican version of an airhead.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that. That's good. I enjoyed that one.
Me too.
Kind of a gritty texture.
I'd eat it again.
I would too. Although there's only one left, so we'd have to cut it into thirds.
I mean.
Or.
You can have it.
I'm not going to eat another one right now. But thank you, Lorena.
Yeah.
So now we've done a Lorena bag twice. We'll go to Christoph next week. Keep it balanced.
Yeah. Keep it balanced.
Spread it out.
Right.
Speaking of Christoph, this is the second week in a row he hasn't emailed us.
I know, but we got an email today.
We did.
Because they emailed me and said, I don't think it's sent. And they tried again and said, okay, I think it's sent this time.
But I'm like, Christoph, are you okay? Are you feeling right? Are you on vacation?
I think it's because the last time and the time before, I've been telling him to cry too much, and now he doesn't want to write in.
I don't know.
So
there is that.
But I was surprised to not see an email from him today.
Not that you have to. It's just you've been doing it for so long, and then all of a sudden you're kind of quiet. So if you're in trouble, just let us know.
I think he's okay. I haven't heard anything.
Oh, no.
No news is good news.
I suppose.
Unless it's not.
I mean.
But anyway, as Chris says, we do have.
We have an emailer.
From our most faithful listener. Self-proclaimed most faithful listener. Colton.
Right.
Wow. Juan Keel for three himself.
Yep. Yeah.
So what did he have to say? Because I didn't ask him and I didn't read it.
Yeah. So the subject is, because Chris said so.
Oh, I hate when I'm in the subject line.
So yeah, it kind of, I think you're in the subject line quite often.
That's the problem.
You're the subject of this podcast, I guess, or this segment.
I don't know. Maybe, I guess.
It's Will's segment, but Chris.
That's what it is. It's Will's segment, but I'm the subject.
Right.
That reminds me of like learning grammar.
I'm just not in it at all. It's wonderful. Keep going.
You're the banter man.
Yeah. Since I, your only faithful listener, was called upon to help out the issues the guys are having, here I am. I am not going to rock Patrick like a hurricane, though.
Wow.
Chris has called on...
I do appreciate that, by the way.
Yes. Chris has called on the big righty in the bullpen to save this episode with my infinite Googled comic book knowledge.
Oh, he's going to bring... Yep. That's amazing.
Looks like Crucified Wolverine is from the Uncanny X-Men series, where Wolverine is captured and hung there by none other than Donald Pierce. Definitely a cool shot in the movie. Hopefully this solves some of the issues that you guys are having. Now you just need to figure out how that record button works. But in all seriousness,
amen.
Glad we are able to record another episode with you guys. It's always a blast and can't wait for the next Guys with Snacks crossover. Forever yours, the faithful listener.
Oh, thanks, Colton.
Yeah, he even
attached Donald Pierce.
A picture of the,
on the cover?
Cover.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. We'll post that. We'll post that on our social media, on Facebook.
Great.
Because that's the only one I've been putting anything on. Thank you for your email. Yes,
and we also can't wait for the next time we get to do a crossover.
Yeah, I wonder what that'll be.
It's always a most.
I'm sure we'll figure it out at some point.
It'll be another movie at some point. That's what we do with
them. Right, that's what we do.
So
it's kind of what they do. It's movies.
Maybe if we all watch Batman the Caped Crusader, the new animated series, we do one of them.
There we go. Challenge issued.
Look, I only have so many days of vacation left.
turn off the Olympics and watch Batman. You're like, no.
No.
Yeah. I just watch highlights from the Olympics. I don't feel like I have to watch all of it.
I just kind of have it on in the background.
At my house growing up during the Olympics, it was always on.
Yeah.
And I think because I don't have television, I have no functional channels. That's why we don't.
That's fair.
Although I believe you can stream it live on YouTube.
Maybe.
You probably can.
And if it's
can.
Not on YouTube, I guarantee it's on like Paramount on or Amazon or something. I don't have Peacock.
I'm just saying. I know it's on Peacock. They've been saying Peacock it free? So much.
Is it free? Is Peacock free?
I could not tell you.
I feel like it might be.
It may be.
I have no idea.
I feel like it's one of those kind of like Tubi where you can watch stuff, but just with ads.
Maybe.
I might have to look into that.
Okay.
I've wanted to show my kids some of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, I enjoyed... My favorite thing to watch was always gymnastics.
I think it's on until the 11th.
Well, there. Wow. It's like 2 weeks long?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's real long.
That's incredible.
I remember a story my dad told me that he was almost... Like, he was scouted by like an Olympic trainer for archery.
Oh, nice.
And then he was like, I don't need none of that.
Because my dad was a really good shot
it's
with just like a...
to be in the Olympics.
I know.
He's a really good shot with just like a natural recurve bow, not like a compound bow.
Cool.
Okay.
And
go ahead and finish your story, and then I got to share something about this Olympics, because I got to know if you watched this.
Okay.
Actually, that's kind of the end of the story, because like he...
Did he say no? He, like, what happened?
I think
he was
went,
scouted out, and then...
I can't remember the entire story, because this is so long ago, but he was somewhere... shooting, the guy sees him and is like, hey, you could actually, you know, do this in the Olympics. And my dad's like, no, I'm gonna go be a cowboy in Montana.
Oh, better
and
choice.
So that's what he did.
That's 100% a better choice, though.
Yes.
And so then he
like went, you could say you competed in the Olympics, but having a life experience of being a cowboy, like a real one,
oh yeah, yeah.
Way better.
Anyway,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So please tell me that you heard about the silver medalist for the sharpshooting, the target shooting, the Turkish guy. Please tell me you saw this.
Nope, I didn't see it.
Nope, didn't see it.
Okay. So the gold medalist, I'm going to... Have you seen the pistol target shooting? Where, like, they wear special glasses and have special gun attachments and, like...
I mean, I've seen it.
Like
I
just, that?
I didn't see it today, yeah.
Okay.
Today, but
so that's like they have dueling? A lens. They have a lens that makes it so your vision doesn't blur, and a lens for precision. It goes over both your eyes and like all that. The gold medalists, like all these people, like in the Olympics, walk up and they do it like that. And then this is the guy that did silver. I just want you to look. Just a 51-year-old Turkish dad walks up in flip-flops
nice.
And a t-shirt, puts it has one hand in his pocket like it's just casual range day, gets silver medal.
That's amazing.
I saw that.
That is pretty great.
Dude, like everybody else, including the people he beat, come up with like these like custom-made like everything, and he walks up with a normal gun. And nothing and gets silver.
He's like, I'll go to the Olympics. I've never been to Paris before. I might as well, like, you know, go travel a little bit.
Dude. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
So I didn't know, since you've had it on, if you saw it. I want to look it up because I have to see that guy compete.
To be honest, mostly of what I've seen is swimming and gymnastics.
Which is, let's face it. That's like the majority of the Summer Olympics.
Right.
Variations of swimming and gymnastics.
And volleyball. Like beach volleyball.
Yeah. But I mean like those two competitions with all the different types of swimming and diving.
Right.
And all of the different types of gymnastics, like they take up the majority of the time if you actually broke it down by percentages.
Right. I also saw some mountain biking and some horse riding, and
I wonder if that's just what they broadcast most to America, because that's what we're kind of strongest in, is like the swimming and like gymnastics category.
I saw Lindecki's 1500 meter race, freestyle, swimming.
I have no idea who that is or like anything.
She beat the silver competitor by over 10 seconds.
So she's like the female Michael Phelps.
Yeah,
basically.
Pretty much.
It's does she also have like abnormally unproportional length arms like he does?
Like it.
No. Because his arms are genetically like longer than normal people's. Right.
She also just won her 12th Olympic medal.
Well, I'm not surprised if you beat the next person by 10 seconds know, in the Olympics that you should have quite a collection.
Michael Phelps has 26 of them.
Did you know, I didn't write this down, but I did see that the first Olympics Michael Phelps participated in, he didn't win anything.
Interesting.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good thing you went back.
I know, right?
He went, dang it, next time I have to do better. And that changed. That's all it was.
He just thought that to himself and he's like.
Yeah, it wasn't that he started practicing or conditioned differently for a year or 4 years whatever. Right. Like,
or maybe he just aged a year and just.
That's what it was.
His arms got longer.
He was.
He put him in like those stretching racks, like the medieval. Right. Every day for 4 years, he's like, I'm going to get inches on these puppies.
He found a man. He found two guys with horses and he tied them. He's like, okay.
And he's like, every day, just pull it a little more.
Anyway.
That's interesting. Good stuff. There you go. Olympic talk.
There you go. Olympic
talk. So, Will, it's time for your next segment.
My next segment.
Your Roomba.
Synopsis time.
Yeah. Fire our synapses.
I usually do. You're fired.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
In the most relatable comic arc yet, Guy and Kyle decide to do the one thing all dudes think about doing at some point in their life, open a bar with their friends. After getting together for Thai food, they both agree to move full-time to Oa.
Sounds like a Friends episode.
This is amazing.
Right? And after getting together for Thai food, they both agree to move full-time to Oa and start a cop bar for the senior members of the Green Lantern Corps. Their plans are interrupted when they are summoned by the Smurfs with several other lanterns to go on a mission to the Forbidden Vega system to hunt down the Yellow Rings and any of their owners. While kicking butt and taking rings, two of their members, Arishia and Sodom Yat, go missing and everyone goes on the hunt to find them. They find them on a rather disturbing planet, only to get ambushed by Mongol and his literal two-faced minion. Now empowered by several yellow rings of the Sinestro Corps, Mongol intends to spread fear and conquer the cosmos like his father tried to do before him. Do the Green Lanterns have any hope of winning? Find out today on Guys with Issues.
Bam. That was excellent, Will.
Thank you.
I look forward to that so much every issue. Good. You've become a master synopsis. Of synopsis. You're an Olympic synopsis. Okay, guys.
Okay.
First, I want to...
Time for Structure Steve segment.
I do want to preface with something. If the Bodica segment, for those of you who read along, if two of the issues seemed wildly out of place as they talked about a trial that was going on and a lantern that had been turned into basically a manhunter.
Yep.
An android, yeah.
So the story to that is in the Green Lantern issues, and chronologically, like release date did not release, or like it would have released around the same time, but chronologically they didn't really line up. So the explanation to this is out of order. And interestingly enough, my graphic novel collection of this does not include those two issues. It puts them in a later trade because of the chronological order. So if you seemed a little confused, just trust that in the upcoming weeks, it'll either be in next week's reading or the week following. I believe you will see that segment referenced. So it'll have the explanation and you'll see all of the stuff that they were talking about. So yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, very strange release. Like something didn't line up. And even when the republished issues came out in trade, those were removed and put in elsewhere because of it. So
cool.
Yeah. So if it seemed confusing, don't feel like you missed something. You technically haven't missed anything. I wanted to point that out.
I thought I forgot about something.
Yeah.
Like, did she get injured when they were raiding, like, the yellow lanterns and they hauled her back and basically did, like, a RoboCop on her and turned her into a
million-dollar man.
How much did they say the power batteries cost?
No, I don't remember that. It was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it was, like, millions, I think, right? Anyway, so, Patrick.
What's up?
Did you have a favorite scene?
To be honest, it was when Guy Gardner was pulled to Oa while asleep.
You thought that was funny?
I thought that was hilarious.
When he was like crashing through stuff and he was sleeping and he was just hanging there and getting knocked around.
Right. That was great.
That's funny.
Just filled my heart with joy.
It was very humorously done.
It was.
It was. Yeah. I agree.
And I do like the humor in things.
No.
As always.
Right.
Did you like his construct moving truck, too?
Yes, I did. And it was losing stuff out of the back.
In space.
So dumb.
But it was funny.
Yeah, it was.
Kyle had a painting, and Guy had an entire moving truck.
an entire moving truck constructed.
But like then you find U-Haul. Out, like, all the stuff in it was for the bar.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
The guy then slept at. Dude, that was funny too. Guy had a lot of like funny scenes this one.
Yeah.
Will, favorite scene?
I'm going to have to give it to when Bizzd, the fly, Green Lantern, like flies out of Mongol's head.
Yeah, that was
right
awesome.
Out of his eyeball.
Mm-hmm. Right out of his
eyeball.
Popped
his eye.
It's kind of a gruesome to think about.
You can always tell when Patrick Gleason is the artist because you get way more gruesome moments.
So his last name shouldn't be Gleason.
He should be Gruesome.
Right.
Gruesome. Wow.
But yeah, like it was really clever because you see everybody like tag teaming him, beating him up, and he starts giving this speech and then he stops and he's like, wait, what? And then, you know, the fly flies out of him.
Yep. Full speed out of his eyeball.
Yep.
After like shooting beams through he perforates his body.
Yep.
So, yeah, pretty cool.
It was cool.
I
agree.
Okay, let's see. I would say... I really enjoyed the scene where Arisia... wanted to kill Mother Mercy, wanted to kill the plant when they were finally out of it.
Yo.
And Saddam Yat talked her down when he was like, hey, it's okay. Like, what? He's like, that'll make us better people. We've seen stuff. We've been through it. We'll be better. Right. And he's like, but we can't do that. We can't do that. And I thought it actually felt like there was emotional weight behind their moment there.
Yeah.
Like in that moment of her freaking out and him being like, hey, it's okay.
Right.
It's okay.
He also references the flashback that we saw where he had an alien friend.
Yep.
And he's like, all of my people, fear is all the only thing that's really driving them. And now the only, like, my best friend is like gathering dust in a museum because they killed him.
Yep.
Yeah. I really liked that scene. I thought it had a good emotional punch for the big, like, survival moment that came before it. I enjoyed that. Do you have another one? There were a lot of good scenes in this one.
I liked when they lost the two lanterns on that strange planet. I'm not gonna have names, whatever.
Yeah.
And then Guy's like, no, we're doing this.
Dude,
I don't care, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And then Kyle backed him up.
Yeah.
Kyle's like, no, like, we're going after them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not leaving anybody behind.
I actually marked that when Guy was like, no, we do not leave lanterns behind.
Yes.
And I can't remember if it was him or Kyle that was like, I'm sick and tired of going to memorial services for fallen lanterns.
It was good. No, Guy had some, like, legit, you were like, oh, look, he's just being, like, cool.
Yeah. He's being,
finally.
He's being a good guy, not a bad guy.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Although his Starlight, Starbright poem, that was funny.
That was good.
That was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have another one?
I did. Expanding on Pat's first, because he liked when, you know, Guy was getting hauled away. I liked that whole montage of everybody getting summoned. Probably more because we had taken a break from reading Green Lantern. They kind of brought everybody back and kind of gave you just like this tiny little snippet of where they were.
True.
Yeah. And it kind of triggered in my head, like, oh, I remember, you know, Natu, and she's out in her world, and what Sinestro did, and, you know, kind of everybody's backstory, kind of pushing it just a little bit and reminding you, and then, you know, everybody meets up and then goes and does the thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought the different fear dreams was really interesting.
It was.
With the Mercy, when it was turned to fear instead of the hope version.
Right.
I liked, like, Stell seeing himself being turned into a yellow lantern ring and used to instill fear. Or, dude, one of the ones that was heavy was Vaths.
Like, oh, where he was cooked?
It was, no, that was Ismots, where he was going to be eaten. Vaths, where it was like a world of peace, and he's a soldier. Right. Like, in his mind, he doesn't know peace. Yeah. And it shows that he's going to commit suicide because there's no war left to fight. And I was like, how real is that for people? Yeah. Like, I was like, wow, that is like haunting. But yeah, I thought that
Guy's
was really
good. A little bit heavy too, because it was like all of his friends were dying.
It shows that all of his value is truly in the people around him.
And you see like the girl he likes.
Yeah, Ice.
Ice was just like shattered in front of him.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Which kind of hits a little bit harder because there's a scene in the very first issue, I think, where he leaves her a card right before they leave.
Yeah. And Kyle's like, correct. Oh, is that the way? And he's like, well, I want it to work. And he's like, dude, you left.
Right.
Kyle's basically like, it ain't working, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Have another one?
Yeah. When the Sinestro Corps prisoners were drawing that symbol on their...
The Sinestro Corps symbol.
On their prisoner...
Science cells.
The cell doors with their blood.
Yes.
I was like, okay, that's really interesting. Does that foreshadow anything? I'm really interested in that.
Dude, that is so... That is dark. Kind of. Could you imagine seeing something like that in a movie?
I know, right?
Sinestro literally bites like the end of his finger off.
Pretty much.
Like the skin off his finger and draws it. Yeah. And people are like smashing their heads into it. Dude, it's like...
It was like, I was like, wow.
Yeah, no. And again, they're all about instilling fear, right? And
right.
So it's like, can't get any creepier than that. I wrote that down too. I think I've had all of these as well. What about you, Will? Got another?
Almost kind of like what you said. I like the... there was like a splash page where it was like half of it was Sodom Yacht, half of it was Aresia.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they kind of like had this symmetry going to them. It was really nice too, of like all of their fears and everything were kind of aligned.
Yeah, that was really cool in the omnibus.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was like a cool piece of art, but also a really cool way of kind of pushing their individual characters forward a little bit.
Yeah,
for sure.
And like, yeah, telling you a little bit more about them.
Yeah, I thought that was a really, really cool splash page. I thought it was interesting when they point out Guy's first use of lethal force.
Yes.
When he kills the two-headed dude. Well, at that point, one-headed.
One-headed dude.
They've been split. But, like, when they come out of the ground, dude, when he goes to pick the ring up and Guy just blasts him in the face. And they're like, they're like, isn't that the first time you used lethal force? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it right now. We're going. Like, you could just tell he's like, this dude.
We'll talk about this later.
Yeah. He's basically like, nah, nah. But I thought it was that the fact that the story, he didn't just blast him and they all flew off. Like, the story acknowledged that it was important because he had been against it before. I like that.
And that's was against it right after that, because then when Aresia was going crazy and trying to kill the Mother Mercy, he was one of the ones that stood up and was like, hey, you know, we're not doing that. Knock it off.
Yeah. Yep. It was just, it was excellent writing.
Yes.
It was. It was excellent writing. Mm-hmm. You have any others?
I have one more.
Okay.
And that was, it's another foreshadowing one.
Okay.
And I don't know if we've, I don't know if I've just forgotten or not, but I don't think we've heard of the Red Rings yet. But
no, you
haven't.
The
Smurfs, it was just a one-line thing or two or something. It was very, very short, but they talked about the Red Rings.
Yeah, because of Leia, right?
Oh, yeah, there was something a few like panels yeah. where they rescued the rock guy. And he's like, oh, she was taken by a red ring.
By a red ring.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm like, ooh, what's this?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have any. You got any more, Chris?
I just thought the fight with Mongol was really cool.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When he was using all his rings and they were doing it, and he's like, let's go.
Right.
And they're like, okay. I like that Mother Mercy got both rings at the end. Because she had will, and at that point, she had instilled great fear.
Right.
And they're like, which will you choose? And she's like, it's not even a choice. And shoots her tendril off that has the yellow ring. That
right.
was awesome.
It was awesome.
Also, her line, when they leave to go get Mongol, and she goes, no mercy. I was like, that just felt epic.
That was.
It was like, oh, dude.
Yep.
Also, I really liked that you got to see her origin, because the Black Mercy, like, you see they reference it how the first time it's ever used in comics was Mongol's dad fighting Superman. He gets one on Superman. And, like, the Justice League cartoon show has an episode or two with him, I believe,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they've been part of DC Comics, but I don't believe this, like, lore of the Mother Planet and, like, all of the seedlings and her ultimately, like, her original purpose was for them to go off and to ease the suffering of people who were dying.
Right.
But then Mongol uses it to, like, trap and snare and kill his enemies.
Yeah.
Like,
he genetically modifies them to instill fear.
Well, no, I mean originally, like, his dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so, because when Green Lantern and Green Arrow have it, it's pre the fear thing. They still have a hopeful future, if you remember.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because they share one, and Ollie's like, no, I knew it wasn't real because you think my desire is to be a good dad.
Right.
And so that was like, the Mercies used to be a positive thing. It isn't literally until the story arc that they became like a horrorscape. And so I was just like, man. What a cool, like, Jeff Johns and his, like, plotting of bringing back long-time comic book ideas and things and then putting these, like, really robust histories or backgrounds to them. It's cool, man. It's really cool.
It is cool. Yeah.
And he does a good job keeping it, like, he does it, but it's not super long.
No, the exposition, like, it's very, like, it's exactly the amount you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's concise.
It is very... very much like a Will White style.
Yes, I would agree with that. So, Patrick.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite character?
Guy Gardner.
You heard it here first. Guy has been his favorite and his least favorite.
Yeah. In this, he was
great.
Really good.
He was really good in this one.
Wow.
Huh?
And
I'm going to give props when they're due.
True.
That would almost be like me saying Azrael was one of my favorites during Nightfall.
Hey, it could happen.
We've talked about going back and reading his, like whatever it's called, the Sword of Azrael 4-part mini that's supposed to actually be good.
Yeah.
Like, he is supposed to be. Wouldn't that be wild?
That would be wild.
We have to do it sometime now. But yeah. Awesome. That's fun. What about you?
But I was going to give it to you. Oh, no,
real quick.
Go ahead.
It was for that reason I mentioned. Where
because
guy, just as soon as he's like, we got people missing, we have to find them. I don't care. That was what put it over the top for me.
For sure. I felt the same in that moment. Yeah. I was just like, this is like peak Guy Gardner. Like, if you're a Guy fan, it's going to be because of this stuff.
Sure.
Is what it is.
Not when he pulled his pants down in front of the Justice League.
No,
that
could still. That could still. I mean, that's when he moons Batman.
That's kind of funny.
Who doesn't want to moon Batman and stick it to the man, the Batman?
I really don't. Anyway.
Anyway, who's your favorite character?
I was going to give it to Bizzed.
I wondered if one like one of us would have to.
It was such
Yeah.
Because after his attack on Mongol, it was a heroic sacrifice because he perished in battle right afterwards, which was sad because everybody in the beginning was like, you know, we don't leave anybody behind. I'm tired of going to memorial services. Nobody else is going to die. But then, you know, our favorite little lantern perished in battle.
He was like, yeah, but it was him giving it. Like, you have to think with how strong Mongol is. By the way, Bizzed, when he drops like a fat boy mini nuke on the plants. Like, everybody else has like flamethrowers and like weed whackers and like knives, and then he drops like a nuke.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But then there was also another moment where he kind of shined, where I think it was Natu and Ismoth were bickering about whether to kill or, you know, to not kill. Mm-hmm. And he pops up. He's like, hey, this is kind of like an age-old debate. How about we just agree to disagree?
Yeah, he's...
You know, because he was like a voice of truth and reason in like one of the beginning moments of them trying to investigate the disappearance of Arisia and Sodom Yat.
Yeah, his character was excellent in this. I will give it to Sodom Yat for that scene that I mentioned. I feel like because we all talked about how when Sodom Yat first gets introduced, he's kind of cocky and you don't know if you're like, who's this guy?
Oh, but I know exactly what you feel like.
But like over time, he's like this issue, it really felt just like when he's like, throw me at her, right? Like you could just tell that the reason he was chosen is not only is he like Superman's like strong, but he really does have like good character.
He does.
And I felt like his character in this was so much better than some of the other times he's been around.
Yep.
And it makes him feel like he's worthy of being Ion. So,
I agree. Yeah.
So I figured since you pick Guy and you pick Bzzzt, I'd pick Sodom Yat because I feel like they all had standout. I almost picked Mother Mercy. She's one good. I really debated. Her like as a carnivorous plant.
Right.
Just interesting. Did you have a least favorite scene?
That was when Bzzzt died.
Yeah. I mean, because he died.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's stinky.
It is.
He's a great character.
He is.
What about you?
So that one was my runner-up least favorite.
Sure.
Also because everybody seemed to move on from his death so quickly. But at least they did give him a cool coffin.
Well, yeah, they were flying
like,
back.
They flew him back.
They'll see Mordo or whatever his name is, the keeper.
Sure.
Yeah. But my actual least favorite was the entire like arc with Boudica and her sisters.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like anybody that was in that. Like, she was a jerk, and it was one of those... It just feels like she's taking justice to, like, a unhealthy level.
Well, remember, because she's an Alpha Lantern, she has no emotion whatsoever.
Yeah.
So she's a sociopath, technically.
Right.
She sees nothing but, technically, in her mind, it's black and white justice.
Yeah.
It's, did you follow protocol?
Right.
That's what it is to the Law of the Lanterns.
Right, and it was just so annoying because she was like harping on that guy in the beginning because his brother's a Yellow Lantern, and then to her sisters, and then she wanted at the end when her and her sister were talking to the Smurfs, she's like, "Wait, don't take mercy on her because she's my sister and I'm an Alpha Lantern, like punish her," and they actually have to explain to her that, you know, hey, she actually does have some talent. She thought she was doing the right thing. She was being tricked. Yada yada, but you know,
yeah.
Through the whole thing, I didn't even like her sister.
There you go.
Yeah,
like any of them, but yeah.
Yeah, I would say I would pick that as well, only because the ring quest stuff was so good.
It was.
Like
by
really,
comparison,
this really shouldn't have fallen where it did. It should, which. Whatever, however that happened. I don't know if you noticed, but it had a different writer and a different artist.
Yeah, I did.
So to me, it's like, it's hard to even count it as part of
this. Well, I wonder if they were trying to catch up.
There had to be something. I'm sure if I looked into it, you can find an explanation of what happened. But yeah, I would say just because it doesn't track well with the rest. Did you have a least favorite character?
I don't remember.
Two-faced dude.
The two-faced dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expected you to be like, no, I hated that guy.
Hated that guy.
What about you?
He was my runner-up. Weirdly enough, Pat and I keep vibing.
Yeah.
My absolute least is actually Boudica.
Nice.
For the same reasons I've already said, so I will not expound any further.
Sure. So, so I guess we're all vibing with this because my least favorite was the two-faced yellow lantern that dies.
I did think it was interesting when Mongol, I didn't look his name up, split him in half and then used the yellow power to keep him alive, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, he basically made halves for both of them.
Yeah,
though that was pretty funny when Guy kills the one half that's like the civilized half,
right?
And then the other one. Or no, he kills the bloodthirsty half.
Yeah.
Then the civilized half gets the ring, and he's like, yes, finally, and then immediately.
And then he's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Somebody, like, offs him.
Yeah. And then they hit Mongol with a giant lantern symbol. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
And you saw the reflection of it in his eyes when he turns around. He's like, what is it that's coming behind me?
And
you see the reflection of it, and then like the next panel's wham.
It's like a 30-story solid stone-looking lantern construct. But my least favorite's the two-faced guy. My runner-up was Boudica.
Oh, so our lists were mirrors.
I could have chosen either of them. Boudica's always been one that's kind of like, right? We've mentioned that before, and now that she's an Alpha Lantern, she might be one of the Alpha Lanterns on the page I own, because it's Kyle and Guy and the Alpha Lanterns. I'll have to check it home. But yeah, cool. So, what are we going to do it out of Black Mercies?
So I have a couple of things.
Oh, you have some things.
Yes. So I read an extra thing.
Yep.
Because I wasn't sure where to start, and I just picked up right after where we left off in the Green Lantern Corps, and because that also had the Sinestro Corps War in it. And that was a tale from the Sinestro Corps, and that literally went through Mongol's background and how he came to be, which I thought was interesting. You could see how evil he was.
Yeah.
And then you could see how he passed that on to his son.
Yeah.
I know they had, like, a splash page where Guy's like, oh, movie time.
And Kyle plays a film projector.
Right. And that there was a little bit of that in there. But when
you're saying it was like a whole issue.
Yeah, it was a whole issue.
Interesting.
And, I read it digitally and that was not in there.
Right. And so Mongol, the father, actually killed his brother.
Yes.
And then his son killed his sister.
Mm-hmm. Symmetry
so
to the evil.
So it was two different people, but they didn't really explain that in that flashback.
They mention it in that flashback, I think. I think they mention it.
Maybe. But anyway.
But
yeah, it was really interesting.
I bet.
I'm glad I read it because it made stuff make more sense.
Yeah, and plus it's always interesting to read issues that are like the backgrounds of villains. I always, especially like super powerful bad dudes like that.
Right.
I find origin issues like that are like, they're pretty interesting.
Right.
That's cool.
Right. And then
I'm wondering if there's a slight plot hole in like the way they've structured the Yellow Lanterns. I don't know if this is because like the Yellow Lanterns don't exist in the antimatter universe or whatever, but they said that in order for them to fully unlock their Yellow Lantern ring, like powers, they had to go into like this cocoon thing. And they had to like conquer their greatest fear or something.
Do you remember this?
I don't remember that either.
I remember this clearly because the one guy who was the guy who gave Hal Jordan his ring, like he crashed.
Abensur.
Yeah, his son was going through his initiation, and he had to go inside like this incubator thing, And
that might have been when they first started the core, but now that the rings are just out catching people, maybe it's different.
Yeah, I don't know. But then he was like, give me all the information I need to know in order to become like the greatest Yellow Lantern. And he had to stand there for like 96 hours or something.
I definitely don't remember this.
I don't either. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah, we believe you.
I believe you. I just don't remember it.
But we've also learned that depending what you read out of, whether it's the app or trades or your omnibuses, they do not always have the same stuff in the same way. They definitely don't.
Which is a little
ridiculous. Yeah, it's publishers, right? They just go, what is needed? What isn't? What should we do? I don't know. That's it. My guess would be that was the way they were starting the core. And at this point, it's more autonomous, like the Green Lantern ring kind of thing.
Probably.
That's my guess. Did you had another thing,
one
too?
One more thing. So during the whole sequence where they were pulling Green Lanterns back to Oa.
Yeah.
One of them was talking to Adam Strange.
Yes.
Who is that?
Adam Strange?
Yeah.
He is like a Roy Rogers space hero of DC.
Okay.
Carries like a ray gun and has a jetpack.
Oh.
And he was a big part of the Ran Thanagar War that Vath and Ismaut were part of.
Okay.
When we talked about Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
There's a standalone Ran Thanagar War mini series, and Adam Strange is a big part of that.
That's cool.
I think he might be Thanagarian or something. I believe he is. He might be one of those sides. Or he might be from. He might be an Earthman. He might be an Earthling. I don't remember. There was a time where I had read all of that, and I could have answered you more specifically.
Sure. And that's fine.
But yeah, he's basically a ray gun, jetpack, Roy Rogers of the DC universe. He's like an old school character, I believe.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. I was just curious because, you know, he seemed like a prominent character.
He's like one of DC's secondaries.
That people should know about. And yeah. I was like, I have no idea who this is. So I thought I would ask.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, that's all I got.
So, out of 5 Black Mercies.
Oh, I would give it 5. I'd recommend that to anybody. That's good stuff.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, a 5.
Yeah.
I've missed the artwork of, you know.
I know, right?
Green Lantern. Because we went through that weird Captain America phase. And then, you know.
Lazarus had similar vibe.
Yeah. A little bit better, a little more consistent. But
it
then,
was the
like,
consistency.
I just love.
And Deadpool. Deadpool was 90s. It was very 90s like comic art.
It was. Yeah. It was still
but
okay.
I just,
it was good.
I absolutely love the artwork of this Green Lantern stuff, man. It is just, it's by good. And large, my favorite that we've ever read.
Oh, speaking of artwork, that splash page of Mongol after he shoots them all with the Black Mercies with the seed gun. Bow, 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 bow.
Right.
And it shows him standing there with the gun, and it's just a splash page of all of them, like, downed behind him. He looks awesome.
Yep.
And
yep.
I was like, man, Patrick Gleason is my favorite. those moments. And obviously, if you guys gave it a 5, how would I rate it any less? But next week, I'd have to, we'll list the issues, but it's either Green Lantern Secret Origins or Green Lantern Rise of the Red Lanterns or Rage of the Red Lanterns.
Okay.
There's a chance that actually overlaps and it's all one reading, but I don't remember.
Okay.
Also, my DC Universe app will not open on either of my phones.
Dude, I'm having the same problem with my devices.
So it had to have been an update. It's CloudStrike. They got...
Maybe.
I'm not having that issue at all.
What? I could only pull it up on my tablet because it goes to the website.
Well, maybe they've updated it since we've tried.
I don't know. I even uninstalled it and reinstalled it to see if it fixed it, and I couldn't get it on. And the thing is I thought, well, maybe it's just this phone. So I pulled out my old phone, and it did the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I don't either.
Anyway.
Wait.
What kind of phone?
Oh, they did
fix
it.
Okay, then, yeah, it's
they
fixed.
Did. I tried it like a dozen times today, and it did not work. So it must have been an update problem.
Something.
So there we go. It's fixed now. So this is now a week later that you guys are listening to this. So know that if you use the app, it works fine. But we will post.
I mean, fine with quotes.
Right. As far as we know. Right.
Yeah.
Still better than Marvel.
It's better than Marvel. I said sometimes it isn't great.
Dude, you want to know something weird? When I was trying to look up that Wolverine cover, the Uncanny X-Men cover on the Marvel app.
Yeah.
If I typed in Uncanny X-Men 251, it would not bring it up. But if I wrote X-Men 251, it also wouldn't bring it up. But if I wrote if I had X-Men 251, put the cursor before and started typing uncanny, it would come up. If I finished the word uncanny, disappeared.
What?
No, I'm not joking. It was, dude.
Marvel feature crap.
I was like, what is with the algorithm that reads the search bar?
But, also, when I was making the art for last week, if you type the
which
word
was funny.
If you tried the word Wolverine in any like AI art generator, it automatically comes up with Wolverine from the comics. It does not make the animal, even if you tell it the animal, you know.
The fact that you use the animal, then that makes it 10 times funnier to me.
Yes. I could not get the actual animal of a Wolverine in the back of a minivan picture. So I'm like, what's the closest thing that kind of looks like it? I'm like, honey badger. Let's just do that.
That is funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I know,
that just
right?
shows that a lot of people use AI for comic book stuff. Right. But anyway, so check the description. We'll have the issues posted. It's back to Green Lantern, not Green Lantern Corps. And we're going to check out the origin of Hal Jordan. And it's going to tie into some Red Lantern goodness. And so we're hoping that you're excited for that. And don't forget, if you are interested in going to a Comic-Con, next week, by this time, next Friday, will be Fan Expo. So if you're interested in checking that out, try to find out where you can get tickets near you and go ahead and head there. Check it out. Go to a con. Super fun.
Yeah. Maybe you'll see us there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys
yeah.
have anything else?
I don't.
Nope.
Well then.
I'm Patrick.
And this is Will.
And I'm Chris. And we are Guys with Issues. But remembered to record.
I was going to say,
we
pushed the button this time, Colton. We figured out how to record. It took us a year, but we finally did it.
You can catch Guys with Issues anywhere you can find your favorite podcasts.
Or check out our website at guyswithissues.com, where you can listen, find reading lists to follow along, and get to know us better.
Send us emails to longbox@guyswithissues.com and tell us your thoughts or send us suggestions on what we should read next. We would love to hear from our listener.
You know, I'm going to do that at some point. I'm going to be like, I'm Kyle. And Will's going to be like, what are you talking about?
It'll be like months from now.
Right. Or I'll be like, well, I'm Guy. And you guys will all be confused.
And we'll just be like, well,
I'm
that's
Israel.
A level of...
no.
Oh, who would I be?
Who would you be?
And
Children
I'm
of the,
Abitur. Because he was like my least favorite character. We were. I'm Black Hand.
I'm Black Hand.
Oh, shoot.
That's hilarious.